This special edition in-depth program on our first responders is brought to you in part by the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, the Pleasantville Clinic and E.J. McKeever Clinic, Knoxville Chamber of Commerce, Marion County Auto Body, Knoxville Raceway, and the Marion County Fair Association. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Capstone Behavioral Health, Don's Heating and Cooling, Pierschbacher Funeral Home, Hewitt Service Center in Monroe, Anytime Fitness, and McCall Monument. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, our first responders work to keep us safe. Where we run from danger, they run towards it. When disasters or other significant events threaten to overwhelm our local first responders, they know where to look for help. In the fifth part of a special 10-part in-depth series on our first responders, let's go in-depth with Captain Jody Marty with the Iowa National Guard. So, Captain, during times of emergencies, local emergencies, the National Guard comes to help in communities, help our first responders all of the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's really our mission, you know, is to times of emergencies here locally, stateside. I remember specifically several years ago when we had that terrible ice storm. The 3654 Maintenance Company, which is here in Knoxville. We were called to open our armories to people if they needed. There was so many power lines down, and people were without power for days. And there was the possibility that businesses wouldn't have power. So we were tasked with making sure that our generators were fully mission capable, and if needed, we could take those out and set up and help particularly nursing homes or hospitals, clinics, that kind of thing, that where people were sick or there was definitely an immediate need for the help, and then also open up the armory for folks that didn't have power if they needed a place to stay.
Well, if I remember right, there were places in the county that were out for a week maybe without power.
I believe so. In fact, I think even in Knoxville there were several areas that were out for days and days.
I remember then driving and seeing power lines down everywhere.
Yeah, and I can only speak to what was here locally, but National Guard units across the state were mobilized to help with that ice storm.
Do you remember when you got the word that you were to come out and help? What were you doing?
Actually, I do very vividly remember. The storm had happened over in the nighttime hours, and it was daylight, and I was bundled up, and I was walking our fence line. We have horses, and I was walking our fence line to see if any trees were down or fence was down. And I was just about finished with that, and I was coming back up into the yard area, and I received a phone call. I had my phone on me, and it was one of the commanders saying, "Hey, we need you to go in. We're going to be opening up the armory." And we actually ran 24-hour operations out of the armory. I would go home and sleep during the day, and then I would come in. We had a full-time person that worked at the armory during the day, and he kind of took the daytime shift, and then I would relieve him when he was, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock when he was about ready to travel home. And then I would stay in the armory over the nighttime hours just in case we needed something.
And were there people staying in the armory?
We didn't have anybody staying in our armory here in Knoxville. There may have been some folks staying in the armory in Oskaloosa. That's 3654's detachment is in Oskaloosa. And we may have had some people staying in the Oskaloosa armory because it was open as well. But we did have some generator missions that went out. And I want to say it was a nursing home or something like that where we needed to take a generator because they were without power.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on our first responders is brought to you in part by Hubes Garage, Vermeer Corporation, Iowa State Savings Bank, Pella Roll Screen Foundation, Dan's Plumbing and Heating in Knoxville, and the Knoxville Police Department and Knoxville Fire and Rescue. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at KNIAKRLS.com in the radio audio media player and catch up on In-Depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Pleasantville Schools, Knoxville Regional Livestock Market, Marion County Public Health Department, Morris Roofing, Norm Rosendahl Tiling and Septic, and the Knoxville Area Anesthesia Services with Steve Eck.
I continued my conversation about disaster response with Captain Jody Marty with the Iowa National Guard.
My memory serves, it seems like there was a power loss in Pleasantville at a nursery home. Maybe that was it.
That could have been it.
Could have been. But even if there wasn't somebody in the armory, you had to have somebody there in case you need.
Right, because what would happen would be those businesses would call our higher headquarters, you know, and it would come through the chain of command, through the National Guard, and then eventually down to us because we were one company that had generators, and so there had to be somebody there 24 hours to take those calls, the generator mission calls, if they came in.
Now, so do you get special training with this? I presume you. There's got to be training about, you know, with the machinery and things like that, but there's probably other forms of training on dealing with these kinds of emergencies.
There is. A lot of that is just really basic soldiering skills, too. We have the military occupational specialty of a generator mechanic, and so those are the folks that we would call in, and they were on alert as well. They weren't there in the armory with me, but they knew that they could get called at any moment. If we had a generator mission to come in and go out with the generator, those soldiers came in and made sure that the generators were fully mission capable. And once they had done that, then they went home and were just on alert, if you will.
Well, so you just don't get a generator and start it up and let it go away.
No, you don't. You could, but that's probably not the best course of action. You need somebody there that knows how to operate the equipment, and more importantly, oftentimes it's not the turning it on that's the issue. It's the maintaining, making sure that the machine itself is operating efficiently.
And so, if we had, let's say, a hospital or a nursing home or something like that, it would be really a serious issue keeping that power going.
Oh,
lives are at stake.
Absolutely, and you know, there's so many times where those folks are either, you know, continually on some sort of machine to help them sustain life, or maybe they have a, you know, therapy sessions that they need machines that need the electricity. So yeah, it's very, very critical.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on our first responders is brought to you in part by Pleasantville State Bank, Griffin Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, Raymaker Screen Printing, Two Rivers Cooperative, Verduft Agency, Central Cellular, and the Pella Walmart. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Dave's Pro Auto, Kooning Plumbing and Heating, Boats Home Furnishings, Dowie Pest Control, Van Haften Racing and Otley, and Pella Lock and Key. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation about disaster response with Captain Jody Marty with the Iowa National Guard.
And so are you geared up here? Let's just say an area hospital, all the power went out. I would guess that they have some kind of an emergency generator themselves, but do you have the capability to be able to support an entire hospital with generators, you think?
What we would probably do is support the, you know, kind of the most important aspects of that hospital. I don't know that we have enough generators to support an entire hospital with, you know, computers and every, all the lighting and that kind of thing. But we certainly would have the capabilities in some of the companies. And I can't speak for 3654 anymore because I'm no longer there, but I'm sure they have the capability of sustaining, life-sustaining operations for a hospital or a nursing home type situation.
Now, how do you decide who gets that kind of help? I mean, we're talking about generators. You know, you're not going to come out and put a generator outside my house, or would you outside of a larger business? Well, of course, a hospital. Would you a courthouse, a school? What are the criteria?
Yeah, and I can't speak on those criteria. That would be something that would come down from higher. The organization would need to get a hold of the National Guard through those channels, and then they, then someone at a higher pay grade than mine would make the decision on whether we're going to support that or not.
And they have to decide what's the priority. And
sure.
And I would guess that lives being at stake is probably pretty high up there.
You know, and you'll oftentimes see on the news our soldiers going out to help stranded motorists. When we have ice storms and snowstorms, there's many times in the past where our soldiers have gone out in the Humvees, the military vehicles, to help stranded motorists out on the roads and in the ditches.
Well, I remember a few years ago, some Guard members out of Des Moines came down to prepare for potentially disasters associated with that 2008 flood. Is that a common thing to do too?
Yeah, we get a lot of flood missions, whether they're here in the state of Iowa or elsewhere. Yeah, it's just we have the vehicles, the trucks, the manpower to be able to, whether it's throwing sandbags or directing traffic or the generator mechanics, or maybe it's repair. We have the manpower to assist with that.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on our first responders is brought to you in part by Lely USA, Dr. Kurt Vanderplu, Precision Pulley and Idler, McGriff's of New Sharon, Golf Cars of Iowa, Enfeld Meat Market, Pella Engraving, Pella Regional Health Center, Van Haften Plumbing and Heating, and U.S. Bank. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at kniakrls.com in the radio audio media player and catch up on In-Depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Windmill Mall Antiques, Vandenberg's, Central Cellular, and Pella Knoxville and Sully, Franklin Street Clothing, Meniga Pest Control, Cabinet Design Appella, West End Auto, and Community First Credit Union.
I continued my conversation about disaster response with Captain Jody Marty with the Iowa National Guard.
And what other kinds of missions? What comes to mind immediately to me would be tornadoes, anything else?
When I think of it, I think of, you know, almost any natural disaster. We could get called in for things, the unfortunate incident at Sandy Hook. I mean, if there was some reason that there needed to be increased security, we could get called in with something like that just to provide security.
Oh, security. Okay, I see. When Sandy Hook happened, were you thinking or were you wishing that you could go there? Was that something on your mind? Did you just want to help?
I don't know that I wanted to go to Newtown, but I can say that I wanted to know what was going on here in Knoxville, and how our school district and how they were looking at policies and procedures. So I think it was more of a close to home kind of a desire to just see, okay, this has happened. What are we going to do about it here in case something like that would happen here?
So potentially you're all set up to help whoever you're called to help, whoever the higher-ups decide needs some National Guard help.
Right. When I was a company commander, for a forward support company, and so we had those generator mechanics, and I remember That was one of the first things that I did when I started my command, was I wanted to know, you know, what vehicles were up or fully mission capable, particularly, you know, what about my Humvees and what about my wreckers and that kind of thing, in case we got called to assist. So that was one of my first priorities, was to make sure my generators were working, my trucks were working, my wreckers were working, in case we got called out in an emergency.
So you're always thinking about your equipment, about your staff. What else are you thinking about?
You know, just the lives of the Iowa citizens. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a situation where the Iowa citizens are in a time of need, we need to be there. We need to help as we can.
Have you ever gone out of state, or is it just an Iowa thing?
I personally have not gone out of state, but many, many Iowa soldiers have gone out of state to help.
Well, yeah, Joplin would have been a really close one to go to.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Any other kinds of missions that I'm not thinking of that I don't know enough to ask about?
You know, I don't think so. I think it's like we said, those natural disasters, or those times where there maybe needs to be some extra security, whether that's a riot situation, whether that's a shooting situation, anything like that, the National Guard would be able to assist if they're called to do so.
How quickly can you gear up? Let's just say something happens in Marion County that you're called in. Oh, let's pick a disaster. A tornado.
Tornado.
How can you be here?
You know, it would vary on what's needed. We have a lot of soldiers that are fairly local. And, you know, as a National Guard soldier, you know that you can always be called in a situation like this, or in a situation where it's a natural disaster. So, you know, within just a few short hours, we could at least have a small slice ready to support, whether that's, again, generators, vehicles. The company commanders and battalion commanders, they all try to do a really good job of making sure that all the equipment is as fully mission capable as it can be, just for these purposes. So it's not a matter of when we get the call, okay, what do we have that's down and what do we have that's up that we can send? We like to have as much of our equipment in a ready status as we can, and the commanders and the guard do a good job of that.
And so as we were doing this interview, it's snowing. We had 6.5-7 inches or so this morning. Did you look at this storm any differently than, say, a normal person looking at it? Did you think about the potential of maybe being called up for something?
I think you do. You always look at a storm maybe a little differently than, you know, the I don't know, average normal citizen that thinks, oh, am I going to be able to get to work tomorrow? Or am I going to have to go to school tomorrow? Or do I get a snow day? You always think about, you know, what areas in Iowa are going to be affected more. You know, I watch the Doppler radar and see who's going to be affected, maybe with ice or more snow or maybe wind or those kinds of things, and think, well, we might have to, you know, some of our soldiers might get activated.
Now, do you watch with great interest when other guard members from the state are doing something? Do you sort of watch the news a little bit differently than even if you're not there, you're sort of there, aren't you?
I am, and one of the things, it's, you know, you look for people that you know, you know, what's going on, and you try to gather as much information, at least I try to gather as much information I can. You know, maybe there is some way that I can help, even though I'm not right there with them. Maybe there is some way that I can help. Or, okay, if the other thing I look at is, if this unit is tasked in this part of the state, okay, what if something else happens in another part of the state? You know, maybe a unit that they would normally call up is already tasked with an emergency situation. Okay, well, who are they going to call next? Could it be us?
I see. Okay, so in that void, you have to be prepared to fill it.
Right.
Okay. Now, we're just talking about supporting local emergency efforts. You've also served in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And what did you do there?
I was a forward support company commander. And I was attached to an infantry battalion. The infantry is the 1st of the 133rd in Waterloo.
And so how long were you in Afghanistan?
About a year.
What was that like?
It was great. Loved it.
You made a difference, you think?
I think we did. I do. I don't know that everybody sees that. You know, sometimes the media doesn't show you the good stuff that you do, but or that the military does, but I, you know, being on the ground, I think we made a difference.
Do those skills that you learned over there or learned here, do they transfer back and forth domestically and foreignly, in foreign situations?
Sure. You know, if you're dealing, you know, ultimately you're dealing with people. You know, when you talk about emergency situations, ultimately you're just talking about people and managing people. Whether you're talking about the public or whether you're talking about a specific population that you're helping, and it's good to get the experience of dealing with a variety of cultures and a variety of populations, because you never know where you're gonna have to help.
Well, now I have you here. I just have to ask you: the ban on women in combat has been lifted. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great thing. I think it will give female service members the opportunity to vie for positions that they were never allowed to vie for before.
That you need that kind of experience to be promoted to the highest levels.
Yeah, I think you know, ultimately it's really based on capabilities. You know, the most capable individual getting the position, regardless of gender and regardless of the position. So, in, you know, for instance, the combat arms, whether you're talking infantry or artillery or cavalry, you know, they didn't allow females to even compete for a position within their ranks, and that'll change in the next few years.
And it's a good change.
I think it's a good change. I think it'll, from what I've read, it'll be approximately 3 years before the change is complete, if you want to say that. And I think it needs to be a slow, methodical process. There's a lot to think about. And change is hard. It'll take a long time for it to really fully come to, I think it, before it really comes to fruition, I think it'll take a long time. I know that it's set out for January 2016 to have everything kind of finished, but I wouldn't be surprised if it takes a little longer than that. And I think that's okay. I think it should be a slow process.
Thanks to Captain Jody Marty for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.